Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is so sick. We have a true designer toy artist coming on, Elwa. He is crushing it. From his design style that you can attribute to him, his characters have three eyes, and the upcoming drop of his toy later this year is going to be so insane. If you like Toys on Tap and you want to get more of Toys on Tap, it requires a little bit of you. You got to like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It's so helpful to get into more ears, which then gets us noticed by more people so that we can do more things. It's incredible to see how we've grown over the years, and I love it so much. If you want to follow us on all socials, it's at Toys on Tap. That's growing, and we're pumped about that. If you want to jump on the Patreon, support the show, patreon.com/toysontap. It's where you get all the extra goodies when we do them. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. I'm so pumped you're on. Your style is so unique in toys and designing, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, sure. I feel like we're gonna have a great conversation.
Heck yeah. You said you're in Paris?
Yeah.
Awesome. And what time is it there?
It's 5 p.m. now.
Great. Perfect.
End of the week. Now begins the weekend.
Dude, do you do this full time?
Sorry?
Do you do toys full time?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I do work on the side, like 9-to-5 job, like just to pay the bill. And also it's a choice on my side because I could have, this year I could have tried to make a living full time out of my toys. However, I'd like to keep this on the side. So I keep myself more free to create, and that depends on budget and everything. So
yeah,
it's kind of a choice of me.
Heck yeah, dude, I'm so pumped. Just like every episode that we do with Toys on Tap, please tell us who you are and what you do.
So my name is Elwa, which is the upside down version of my first name, Wael. So basically all my friends call me Elwa all the time. So I keep this as my nickname for toys. And I'm a toy designer and artist in Paris. I've been doing this 3D printed toys for almost 2 years now. And since I'm a kid, I like to create characters, drawing, graphism. 3D came a little bit later, but I come from this like purely creative characters kind of background.
Which is, take me back to where that kind of starts in your life, this creative designing your own character, that kind of stuff. Where does that start?
I think I owe everything to my dad.
Yes.
As far as I remember, he pushed me a lot to draw when I was a kid.
Okay.
And growing back in the days, there was no such as, let me say it differently. I grew up with like the era of video games, mm-hmm. That was growing very fast. So my main goal of every day was to play on my Xbox and PlayStation. That was like the only thing I wanted to do. And my parents, which like all the parents, was not a big fan of video games, but still they let me play. They had like, even though my dad, he had like a games. It was like, if you can't draw this, or you can draw for 1 hour, then you can play for 1 hour.
Okay.
And kind of gamify, the earning of the game time,
Yeah.
So I remember one time he told me, if you can draw this Spider-Man CD, then I will buy you the Spider-Man game. And I want it so bad. So I spent my whole week trying to draw this CD. And yeah. One come with another, and then another, and another one. And then I start, I realized that I was more like into my world, my fantastic world in my brain, more when I draw, because I could shape every characters I wanted, make every fight scenes and everything, than in my video games, which you are more like following a path, they give it to you. So it all started like this, and I feel like at school I was like kind of okay, but not really great. But since I had a pen and a paper, I couldn't stop drawing. So I drew all my scholarship. And then, you know, it kind of be like the drawing buddy, like all the friends, like, oh, can you draw me this? And
yeah,
when the first girl I was in love to, I was giving her graffitis on papers to show her my love. So this kind of, you know, became my whole identity. And it started like this.
Hey, and, that's such a sweet love note, just to have like graffiti on a piece of paper.
And you know what, man? So it's a lot of time have passed, and my father, he just moved to Paris because he's from south of France now. He moved to Paris, and so he did a lot of, he get rid of a lot of things because he had so much stuff.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
And when I went to his flat in Paris, I saw a bunch of posters on the wall, which was my all-time drawings when I was at school. And I saw the graffiti for that girl.
Now you gotta call her. You gotta say like, "Hey, I have your art. I'm so sorry."
No. I was a kid. Like, I don't remember what she was looking like. But still, I have like her graffiti name on the wall. And my father thought it was like just a graffiti for a regular, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that was crazy.
That's so funny. I mean, that's such a good way to get kids interested in drawing. I mean, in the U.S., I was hooked on games and stuff too. Like, it felt so new, and so we were all addicted to it so much. But that, man, your dad did so well in like getting you off of it.
I think that's his, like, he was a teacher, so he had like, you know, kind of a pedagogy or a good way to get kids interested into something. And he gave me like really this like superpowers. I call it superpowers. To me, it's really superpowers because now I can like be able to materialize everything I have in mind. And this is like the greatest skill I can have today.
Yeah, it's rad. It's rad to see. How does this, so you go from that and you have this moment where you're drawing stuff for all kinds of people and for the girls, all that stuff. How does this kind of change in like secondary school and university? Do you pursue art?
No, I was like more, kind of. At high school, I was like more into dropping art stuff and go into more like specific or general scientific classes.
Yeah.
But I remember I wanted to be an architect because you had a little bit of drawing. And so when I dropped school after my graduation, I had like so much entry. You know, I don't know what's the word for that when you have to make like a competition against other students to get an entry, a scholarship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember I went to Paris for the first time to apply for one of the school with my art book.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had like a whole weekend full of meeting students and ask them and then maybe recruit them. And I was like, hey, I do draw. Check my drawings. And I'm good at math. I can be. And the man said, sorry, we are not an art school, so it's no. And then I realized that maybe I should pursue into the arts, you know, scene.
Yeah.
But in my family, it wasn't that okay. We don't have artists in our culture. This is not more like, it's more like a side job than a really a big job. So I started to make like physical and mathematics studies. Then my mother realized I was really bad and didn't interest me. So we found like kind of my mixed studies as a web designer first.
Okay.
And developed. And now I'm a full-time UX UI designer. So I kept this and I still make art on the side.
Yeah. And I mean, UX, like web design is insanity because you have like clients coming in, right? And they just give you a list of what they want and you kind of just have to go with it.
And this is great way to approach projects. This gave me also, I think it influenced what I do in toys because it makes me think first of a goal that my toy has to serve a certain purpose. You know, when clients in a web in a UX and UI design, you have to make like good interface, good like interface, I don't know the
Yeah,
word.
you're right. You're right.
Interface. And this interface have to have a purpose, which have like maybe money to get, conversion rates to get and everything. So in my toys, I try to make them serve a purpose and think the usability first, and then get the creative part on the side.
So at some point in designing and doing art, there's this moment that kind of clicks over where you can see it on your Instagram where it's like it's art and then there's like little hints of it looks like you're figuring out you want to do a toy. And then it moves into toy and then it moves into 3D printing. So tell me about that transition from you're doing normal artwork and then all of a sudden you start to like, I want to make some kind of toy.
Kind of recent to me. So I came after my studies I did in UX UI design. You have to learn also some art direction stuff. So the Adobe softwares and everything. And I really liked the Photoshop skills, which were one of my passion first. And I wanted to work first as a cover graphic designer for music labels, you know. I wanted to make like covers and everything. So I put 100% of my focus on learning Photoshop the best way I could and being the most creative person to make like great covers. I started to get money with this. I won some championships in France to make like great covers for great artists and everything. So I started to get into the industry. But then I realized that the main thing that missed into the covers is characters. It's all the time bunch of like environment and you know some decors. Then you put the wrappers on the on top of it and you make a full scene. It can be like very amazing, but still you my thought was like, oh, I can make the full set, the full environment. I need to make also the best characters that fit into this. And sometimes in the music industry, you just have to deal with the artist, so it doesn't, you know, work well. So I started to try to imagine one character that I feel would love to, and I wanted also to make it live, so I wanted to learn 3D. But to me, 3D modeling was so difficult to do. I couldn't even start somewhere, you know. I was afraid to start making 3D because I have spent so much time learning Photoshop, Illustrator, and After Effects. I would say, oh damn, if I have to pay like to make like 5 years of my life learning 3D skills, I'm, you know. But again, my dad. So as a teacher, and that's what makes him very, very good. I remember when I was in college here is like middle class, I guess, in the US. He already tried to make his students learn 3D modeling with ZBrush. He was like finding ZBrush very interesting for people to see the environment, try to, you know, get the views in different directions and try to make things easily. So I knew he knew like how to make them a little bit. So he gave me the software. I was trying to practice a little bit and I found it was like very easier than what I had in mind, you know. So for 1 year, I made a lot of conceptual art toys in 3D, but without the technology to 3D print them. And I feel like the logical was like the easiest path was like, oh, you go from I have a big 3D model I'm really fan of. I really need to have it in physics. And so, you know, YouTube search how to make toys or how to make a... And then I started to learn about 3D printing. I was like, oh, I can have my own 3D printer. And I said, okay. Christmas was like, Mom, I need a 3D printer for Christmas. And everything started like this.
Yeah. I mean, if you're willing to make toys, that means toys kind of impacted you at a young age, right? So like kids are getting toys. What toys are we collecting that kind of generate and make this the route you wanted to go?
I did have like a lot of toys.
Yeah.
When I was young, like I was like arguing a lot with my mom to buy me things and toys. I was a big collector, but more like DBZ, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had Matrix. I had so much like Marvel superheroes, Star Wars, and I wish I could like get them back. I don't know where they are because I had some kind of vintage Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
Lightsabers and everything. I was a big fan of it. But then growing up, I started to think more digital. So I wanted to do more video games. I kind of dropped the toys. And I remember at 16 or 17, my cousin invited me to his birthday. I was into skateboard at this time. Like I really loved the skates and everything. And he did as well. And he told me a lot about getting a new skateboard, a skate deck for his birthday because he wanted to do more and everything. And instead of this, he asked for a bear brick.
Okay.
I didn't know what was a bear brick at that time. And I was like, what the fuck, man? You could have like a big skateboard element and everything with a big budget.
Yeah.
And you had like this plastic bear. I don't know what this was. And as this cousin to me was kind of a model in style and everything, I started to learn more about this and to pay attention to the art toys in general. And I think I fell in love instantly, like trying to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, bear bricks are such a good entry point. I don't have any, but it merges such a good, easy way to get into toys. And which one did he want, the 400 plus or the 1000 plus one?
I think he had the 400%. Yeah. I don't remember. I think it was a Colette edition.
Yeah.
Mother would go to Colette very often. So I think he had that one. But as you said, it's a great entry because they had so many of toys, mm-hmm. customs, the brand you like, the designer you like, and everything. So I started to say, what is like a multiverse of toys where this happens and I need to try to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. So then take me up to the first toy that you sculpt, because your artwork, it blends. One, you have your own style where there's a different eye set. There's a third Ooh. Eye in there, which anytime an artist adds their own thing, I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, that's... The third eye, I think to me, it's more like a pop culture signature that mm-hmm. you can see in The Simpsons, you can see in the aliens in Toy Story, you can see like in a lot of work, even in like Keith Haring work, he had a three-eyed character. So to me, it was more like a reference to this.
Yeah.
The first toy that I sculpt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me about the first toy that you took from sculpt all the way to 3D print.
So I guess I could show you even on camera if you want, because
we'll describe it for everyone.
Yeah. So I was really a fan, and I'm still a fan of Astro Boy.
Yeah.
I think this character design is the perfect one. I really like the kind of cartoon vibes, and it has also this kind of Japanese heritage that I'm really big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
And the futuristic kid with the robots and everything.
Yo, let's take a pause real quick. Are you trying to launch a Kickstarter? Are you new to making toys? Are you trying to figure out how to do this Instagram thing and marketing and business side and all that, and that we want to care for the community and we want to be there for everything that is going on with the community and people that need help, because we were once helped. So we want to pass that on. If you are looking for that kind of stuff, let us know. We will answer questions. We also are starting this new thing where we can help you through the entire process, because it is sometimes overwhelming when you're just stepping in and you're trying to get information from everywhere and piece it together. And it's always nice to have it all in one spot. So if this is you, shoot us a DM. We'd love to talk to you.
You know, the cuteness and the strength that he has, I think to me he's the best character ever. And see, look, it was just on my desk. I have like this Astro Boy head I didn't paint on. I just like 3D printed. That was just here. So,
which that head is massive.
The head is massive. Yeah, the head is big.
So the toy is probably like 8 inches.
He's this one is a conceptual thing. I don't know if it works.
Okay.
But if it does, this would be amazing. It's supposed to be. Oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to find his body. It's supposed to be like. There you go. You have like the legs. Incredible. But the legs has no feet, so he cannot stand up. It's not a toy that it's supposed to that you put somewhere. There you have like a little bit of place for a magnet.
Okay.
And my feeling was like, if he can be like magnetized to a poster, metallic poster, and then here where the heart is supposed to be,
yeah,
we can put like an incense cone, which the smoke would go all the way down to the feet, where there's reactors, you know, kind of thing. And you are feeling that he's floating in the air with, like, you know, some smoke.
Dude, that's incredible.
I don't know if it's going to work because it's way heavier than my magnet. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I might have to, like, to make it a little bit. Still, sorry, because my, you know, I'm always trying to make, you know, let me check. So my first toy was a very inspired Astro Boy theme.
Yeah.
And you will see, I will make you see like how this inspired to my characters now.
Mm-hmm.
You will see I'm going to get it just right here.
Awesome.
You see, that was my first one. And you see how close it is to Astro Boy.
Yeah.
With the influence and everything, and you have like the smoke that makes like the stands for the toy like this. And so when I started 3D printing, I really wanted to try to craft my own character with my own props and items and everything, and I needed to find inspirations. I drew all my life characters, but like Link from Zelda to Spider-Man, so I didn't get into my own one, and to me, I needed to try to make a living out of it, a career. So Astro Boy was my main point, but I feel like this one was too close,
mm-hmm.
you know, to Astro Boy. But it had like some shaped that really interested me, like, you know, you see like the little spike on the head.
Yeah,
I really like this. It's really cartoonish, you know, cartoonish. I like the and so on and on. I tried to make one, and my character now is look more like a little vampire.
Yeah, see, with
sharp teeth, and still has like the little spike that makes a heart shape on the head and everything. So it's really close also to Astro Boy, but has more like my visions on it. That's
yeah, I love it. I love Astro Boy is such a good one to start with. He has like recognizable shapes and he's a pop culture icon, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing the Astro Boy inspired piece as your first piece, you're also learning how to paint as well, right? Yeah. Like you gotta like then move through painting and figure out how to do that well. What was that process like? Like learning how to do that from nothing is crazy.
Long time struggling. I feel like paint would have given me so much headache over 2 years I have now.
Yeah.
And I still make mistakes. I feel like the first ones, so my main goal was directly to try to have a clean version and not mm-hmm. Artistic version. The clean, you know, like eyeballs, no dripping of paint, like clean shapes, clean lines and everything. And I struggled a lot because I was not using the right tools, I guess, in the right materials. I was using acrylics, then you have the brush, you know, texture and everything. I didn't like that much. Then I start airbrush. But as I live in Paris, you know, I have little flat. So it's a lot of, you know, materials to store and everything. And so I started to have my own process over the years. And now I'm more into spray paint and brush than airbrush. But paint is a hard job, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably one of the worst parts of the whole toy making process.
Yeah, 100%. And also, if you want to put some logos, some everything, you have to find a way to do this. And I'm still learning how to make some things I cannot make.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that now I have my own. And I feel it influences also me when I'm creating into 3D modeling. I'm already thinking about my painting process, like how I will shape my characters to have a great painting process afterwards.
Yeah.
So from the start, I try to think of the painting process and how I can make it easy and how I can shape my characters to have like a flat surface. I can like put a stencil on it or maybe carved eyeballs that already I can just follow the lines with my brush. And so now it's more easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's so smart. The issue with a lot of toys is that, like, we all want to create something that's so cool. And sometimes we create stuff that we didn't think about painting when we were creating. And so then when you send it off to the factory or when you try to make it yourself, you're like, this sucks. Like, it's going to cost way more because I didn't think through this. And so to have that in mind when you're already, like, you're beginning to make toys is incredible.
Mm. And that's why I think a lot of toy designers are just like applying one color to their, and they have like a full colorway set.
Yeah.
It's really easier than you just don't have to think. Sometimes one color makes a full pop culture thing and everything. But to me, painting were more really important to master it the fastest way possible. Because even though I had like a lot of gigantic toys I wanted to paint, I couldn't be satisfied if I saw a little detail like failing or failure in my toy. It would like just make me want to throw it away and not display it in exhibitions and everything, you know. So
yeah. Even in your first Astro Boy third eye, so you're putting your mark on that toy, which is so good. And then walk me up to, I saw an MF Doom. So this is like your music, like artist stuff that you were talking about earlier, and mixing with your style, which gives it this like cartoony-esque feel, and then the three eyes still. So like, tell me about MF Doom and that sculpt.
This one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The phone stand. Yeah. I did a lot of one, but he's my favorite rapper of time. So I come from, my family is a lot into music. I used to play drums for more than 10 years. So we had a big music into our family. So naturally it was must do into toys to merge music industry, art industry, also fashion industry sometimes. All the things that I like in life, as this, my toys should be reflecting me. It's normal to have like the merge, the mix of everything of this culture in one toy. Now, when it comes to rappers, MF Doom is a special one because his character he created, the villain he created, has so much potential into...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have an engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys!
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
Diversity, make them a t-shirt, make them a comic, make them like a toy, make them a video games. And that inspires me because this is what I try to do with my toy, my character, to make it more credible into all of this, you know, kind of application, you know.
Yeah.
So, and MF Doom, I guess, also reflects kind of a generation. There's a lot of toy designers making Dooms because all the mask and everything, you can like really play with this kind of items. So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. I feel like
no, you did. You're also doing something interesting with the MF Doom figure. It's almost like a digital aspect that's being added to it because he holds the phone, and then in the video, it's him. It's like on the other side of the phone, which is really cool. Are you gonna plan to merge digital art with toys?
It's more like trying to give utility to all of my toys.
Yeah,
and that's what my UX design kind of job makes me have inside of me. It's more like I try to make toys that I can not only look at but also use. Because I was tired, sometimes I was collecting a lot of toys and I was like, wow, I'll just pay 400 euros on this one. And 2 weeks after, he's taking dust and I do not longer look at them. Like I forgot about him, you know? So I was like, I need to use my toys at home or people that can project to use it because it gives another value to the toy. And also it popularize it to a whole new scene, like the home interior, the home decor and everything. So this one was like a phone stand at first because my phone is always on my desk. And when I'm busy, I'm always trying to find him. So I was like, now I need a toy that can carry my phone. And I was like, how can I make it interesting and living? Maybe if my toy was like, the first idea was like, I want it to be like a X-ray, you know, scanner.
Mm-hmm.
So when he carries it, you can see his bones and skulls and everything, like, and it could be funny. And then when I was working on it, I was like, oh, it also can be like a digital camera, a hit camera, so you can play with a lot of the backgrounds of the iPhone. And then it became funny to just put your phone on it, you know. And
yeah,
if your phone is not on it, it's still a toy. And that has the art toy shape and everything. So,
that's so genius.
Yeah.
As you started doing this, what were the designs? I mean, your Instagram grew. I mean, you've only been doing toys for a little bit, and it looks like it just blew up. And so, were the toys the thing that kind of like made that happen? Like, as you're producing, people are like, this is the guy, this is the one we want.
Yeah, sure. I think I've always, if you scroll down to my Instagram, you'll see my first post was like music covers.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like the more it is for the people to see real objects, the more they pay attention because they can like project to heaven. I mean, seeing like a cover of a music project is cool if it's beautiful and everything, but you see it and you forget about it 5 seconds ago. But when you see a toy live action on your desk, on the desk, and you say, oh, that's cool, I need one now. And also I can put it, visualize it on my desk, you know? So I feel like people are more paying attention because it's more like physical here, you know? So, I mean, my Instagram has been good for the last year. I mean, it was like a good growth. Because I was doing a lot of conceptual art with my art toys and that people could imagine having them. And so it's more like tangible. I don't know. I lost a few words, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
concrete in English is more like the texture.
Yeah.
Concretize, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, you're making something that people love. And there's this, when you start blending pop culture and artists and stuff into the toys, there's something so good. I love looking at artists that are making, they take musicians and put them in toys. So what's the plan? Are we planning to do more artists as toys? Are we planning? Okay. And yeah, is the goal to get seen by that? Because that's, man, it's insane. It's so good.
For the last 6 months, I started a new project because I'm a lot of vinyl collector, vinyl records. I love to collect and to listen to them. And I make some small toys that you can put on top of the record that spins at the same time as the record, and which relates to the music you're listening to. For example, here, let me show you. I made this Michael Jackson one.
Okay. Oh, he's so good.
MJ Thriller zombie version. And there you have like a stand that you can put your vinyl and it spins like this with the vinyl. So I try to, this year I want to make like one every month. So at the end of the year I have 12 and I start to make a whole like a bibliothek of toys that can put with vinyls. And that's my way to merge music and toys, you know.
Is the goal to go into production? I mean, these are so good. You have a style. You can tell who you are by your toys. You got the 3i mark. What's the goal here?
Yeah, definitely. I will go. I just started my production line early 2026. Now.
Okay.
So my goal is to enter the art toy world of manufacturing toys with one of my signature pose, this one, but very big.
Oh yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, that's the one I will drop first. But easily after that, I want to make, to popularize like utility art toys in manufacture. Like for example, this could be a series that I want to do and make them like 100 or 200 pieces. And I have some candles also, a toy that you can, a little bit complicated to explain. Like, it's a toy that you can put your candle inside of, how do you say, trash, I guess, metallic trash.
Okay.
And he's like this, trying to heat up his, his hands.
Yeah,
and
that's so cool.
This little bit of guy, and this is just a candle decoration, you know. So all these things, I'm trying to make them in manufacturers this year.
Yeah,
but I mean, a lot of fun,
so. Yeah, like, and toy production is so much fun to get into, because it means like box design and all kinds of stuff. So your first toy you want to release is an original character.
Yeah,
tell me about that original character.
So Lil Vamp is my character.
Yep.
So the little vampire is it reflects the bad side of me. So I like, so people know me as a cool dude, like very funny and smile. And Lil Vamp is more like a sneaky one, try to make fun of you and everything. I like this duality of things. And so I've been thinking and trying a lot of different characters design for him. I think it follows me through the last 2 years to make it evolve as the final way he is now. And I was really happy with the shape it turned, like this one. I really love the head and the pose. And the pose is like when it's about to boo you, you know?
Yeah.
To make fun, a little prank, like a scary prank and everything. So this is the pose. And I feel like it's a great shape for a standalone character toy, but has the ability to be like painting a lot of different ways with pop culture references. For example, I have a Batman of this one over there. Mm-hmm. I also have Joker one, MF Doom one also. So it can be easily turned out into different character with the same pose. And so I wanted to have my first manufactured toys as my signature one.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Starting out with your own is insanity, and I love when people do that. And they, so this figure, especially how it's designed, it looks like the head is designed as well. So you can, if you wanted to do Batman, you could just design a helmet and slip it on the helmet.
Yeah, I can show you. It's just I will do back and
forth. Yeah, yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, I'm here for it.
The Batman is gonna be the real size of it. So you see, it's the same shape, same pose. Oh,
dude, he's so good.
You know, and just like, and this is the real size. So this is gonna be, and you know, like the little like, little vamp kind of Batman team. So there's a lot of this one. There's the Joker one also. Empire Blister.
Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters. Now sponsor Toys on Tap. That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters. Empire
Blisters. I think he's the first one that I really, really worked well.
Oh my gosh, dude, these are so good.
It can be like a really like a varsity of all the pop culture references in one. I have to make a Stormtrooper version. I have to make a Ninja Turtle, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle of it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of way we can play with this design. So I think it can be a great signature toy.
Absolutely, and what's cool about these is, I mean, it looks like you're doing the size like the Bear Bricks do, right? Are you going to do a small, a big, and a large, like crazy big?
Yeah, I think I would love to. First, I will start with the 100% one, and maybe have some more like a keychains one and a 1 meter tall one. Yeah, depends on how many money you have to make to pay, because it's really expensive. But
yeah,
the fun part is really like the, and you see the props are really cartoonish, like the big boots,
yeah,
the gloves, like Mickey Mouse, a little like cape. So
dude, they're so good. They're absolutely incredible, especially the Joker and the Batman one. So you have all these, I mean, especially if you want to stay within pop culture, there's so many designs that you can do. So many.
Sometimes I just can't sleep because I'm thinking about all the things in my head that, and I just take my phone, my girlfriend's halfway sleeping. I'm trying to, you know, to note as much as I can before forgetting.
Yeah.
The next one I want to make is Krusty the Clown from The Simpsons.
Absolutely.
You know, like a green curly hair and everything. It could be like very fun. And I have to make a Robin version also.
Uh-huh.
The Batman, this one, and the Robin would be great.
Okay, so I have to ask, like, when is the drop? When is the drop for the first, your first toy?
So right now I'm just like making molds with, okay. So I guess it's going to be in 2026 for sure. I feel it's going to be in September.
Okay.
For like the end of summer vacations, and I will be able to have my own communication made. Start talking about this. I already had received the sample, which is not going to be this one. It's going to be a classic one with another outfit. But the funny part is like we hide magnets inside the boot,
mm-hmm.
because as it is a vampire, it's supposed to be sleeping with the head upside down.
Right.
So you can like magnet it to upside down to the something like.
So smart. Man, that is incredible. So September, I mean, mold costs, now that you're in production, mold costs are never cheap. What are you producing in? So I usually produce in soft vinyl. Is it PVC or resin or?
No, it's soft vinyl also.
Hard vinyl, yeah. And it's crazy because people don't understand that sometimes mold costs can be.
Yeah, and I was the first surprise when I received like
the bill,
the quote.
Yeah,
I was like, how can I supposed to be paying this?
It's yeah,
so much money, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and then you like each one, especially if you do it this way, where they're limited editions. they end up selling well. They end up doing super well. Like the Batman one, there's so many different costume colors that you can do just with that one alone.
Oh, I get lost in Google.
Yeah.
All the time.
I
get lost. And that's the part that I like, you know, trying to find the costume that people know about, but not all the people knows about.
Right.
And in the comics universe, there is so much declination of characters, and you can find so many different kind of Batmans or Spider-Mans that has like weird costumes. And to me, that's the an excuse to bring them to life, you know. So people, you say, I will dropping a Batman, they will expect you to have like the black, yellow and gray costumes or blue and everything. And you can find someone and say, oh, is this Batman? Yeah, you can see in the comics of 1965, for example, wearing the thing.
Yeah, it is crazy. And there's like, man, you have so much ahead. So with all this in and you have the molds and stuff already on their way, I mean, September, it's 8 months away, 7 months away, something like that. But that's not far.
No, that's tomorrow.
Yeah. So how are you getting ready for, like, once the molds are done, you have to tell them how many you want. You got a box design. You got to map the colors. You got to, like, how are you getting ready for all this stuff?
Everything is already done on my side.
Awesome.
So because when I think about making a toys in a large scale production, the fun part also to me exciting, I'm excited to make like packagings. I love packagings. Yeah. So I was in the same way I was exciting to produce my toys, I was exciting to make packaging. And to me, it's not just the toys and the packaging, it's both together that create something for the customers or the people who will buy it. So I imagine the packaging the same way in the same time of my figurines. So it came together. And before making it, I wanted to make sure that the manufacturer would be able to make, because it was going to be a weird packaging, a coffin shape, you know. I wanted to make sure like the manufacturer could do this. And they say, yeah, we can do so. Now everything is in their hands.
Yeah.
And in my wallet also.
Is every one going to be a coffin shaped box?
Yeah.
Dude, you did so well on that toy.
That's the whole point of this one, is like it's a whole vibe, like it's a whole world you have to step into it. So even the packaging, even the little card inside will have to feel that you have a villain, because they're called the villain inside the hand, you know.
Yeah. Does that mean once they're produced, are we going to like toy shows? I know like ToyCon UK is near you, which is really cool. I know DesignerCon has a Europe version, which is really cool. Is that the goal?
Yeah, I think it's a goal
to
have a stand one day in big conventions like this. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's not the goal right now. I mean, like, I'm more focusing into making concept in at home and dropping my first line of toys. But into like a 2 or 3 years vision, I hope I will be able to make it to cons.
Yeah. Sure. Heck yeah. I mean, it'll come faster than 2 or 3 years. Once these designs drop, people are going to go nuts.
I hope so. I really hope so. But it's either way, if it's go cool or not, it's a cool adventure. So
yeah,
there's no way I will regret what I'm doing now.
There is this crossover that happens with it's like street art and underground and designer toys, and we see that artists sometimes get their starts there. We have Cause, which kind of feels like that as a start, and your toy fits in that niche, which is so good, because that's when you go to like DesignerCon. So we booth there last year, and you see these giant statues that are made of this type of like intersection, which is beautiful. You have cool things that are happening like that. So I cannot wait to see what's coming with these, because they're insane.
I will send you one as soon as it drops. You give me your address, I'll send you one to San Diego for sure, man.
I mean, better something to think about. In April we have I have something called Collected Con. It's a show here in LA and I'll be doing interviews. If you send me the prototype, it can be in the back of the interview, and I'll send it back right after all the interviews.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. So the prototype I have now is not a good one. I mean, like, I can send it to you. So you can have, like, a little bit of a villain for the interviews. We'll arrange this for sure.
Okay.
This one is not like the final version. We had a lot of modification to make.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's there and it's ready. You have the magnets and everything. So
I know people are going to see it and they're going to be like, where do I get that? And I'll be like, hey, you got to wait until September.
I say, well, maybe it's going to be September, maybe December, maybe. I don't know. I didn't like think of it. I want to make like good communication, good marketing around it. So it's going to take the time it takes. I want to tell a story through this toy. I want people to visualize what's the inspirations, what they can do, what they're expecting to be in the next 5 years with this toy. So maybe I will be able to make this whole marketing things into 1 month or two. Maybe it's going to take 6, but I will drop them like when my whole story of this toy will be finished and people will easily understand it. It's a whole process. But it's interesting to go through.
Yeah, it's incredible. So the last part of the podcast always is you get to plug where people find you, how they get in touch with you, all that stuff. Please plug away all that stuff.
So I'm exclusively on Instagram. I don't communicate in either way outside of Instagram. So my Instagram is elwa.psd. That PSD is the end of every Photoshop file. So maybe the graphism person will catch this. So elwe.psd. And I try to make new toys every week and try to showcase it on my page. So everybody's welcome. They can just send a message. I like to talk with people. So I try to talk to a lot of the maximum person. And if you... I talk to the people that will listen. If you like the toys and everything, feel free to send a message to check my work and everything.
Absolutely incredible. Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Thank you so much for having me. Pure pleasure.